fields in the spring that turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the baker.
Are you pumped
downtown
up for the Grey Cup coming up this weekend? Jamie and Locker wreaking havoc on the streets of Winnipeg as we speak. And Britain. I mean, Britain's probably the bad influence there. Jamie and Locker are the responsible, too, I'm guessing. But they are live in Winnipeg doing the Green Zone all week from Winnipeg. In fact, we've got them lined up to do a special edition of the Green Zone, the Grey Cup edition, on Saturday afternoon. So they're doing it from 2 until 5 on Saturday. And then, of course, we'll be there with the pregame and postgame show after the Grey Cup on Sunday. So lots going on there, and I'm glad that we've got a full slate of people from our team that are in Winnipeg and bringing that coverage. Pretty exciting stuff. Although I did chat with someone this weekend who said they're a bit gun-shy after that. They were counting on a Jays World Series win and a Ryder Grey Cup win, and after that Jays loss, now they're... Well, the guy said to me, don't get me wrong, I'm still cheering for the Riders. I'm just a little less boisterous about it. He's been burnt once already. Okay, I want to get back to the budget for a second because as one of my last callers just said, the Liberal government loved the distraction of this floor crossing because it, of course, points the finger, throws up a smoke screen, and really distracts from what a lot of people are frustrated about with this budget. We wanted to bring in different people that could break down the budget. We had lots of great guests last week, including Premier Scott Moe. But from an agricultural standpoint, this is one where I would say it's pretty safe to say the reactions have been mixed at best across the ag sector in Canada. It includes more than $639 million over 5 years for agriculture, fish, and seafood. Many producers, farm organizations say that's not enough. In fact, many concerned about the fact that there was actually a reduction in ag spending that came out and was released in this budget. This is a great setting to bring in Sean Haney, our friend who joins us regularly on the program. You hear him daily on this radio station with the Ag Minute. He's the founder and CEO of realagriculture.com, and we have Sean live from his office today. Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Evan, it's great to be back on the show again.
So this is actually the first time I've had a chance to chat with you since the federal budget came down a week ago. Just some thoughts from an ag standpoint. Did that budget hit the mark or miss the mark?
Well, I think not just in agriculture, but it kind of crossed the board. I think that this was kind of pitched and promoted as some sort of like transformative piece of, a piece of paper. And I agree with a lot of people in their sentiment that it kind of does miss the mark. It was a little bit, if you had bet, taking the under in terms of impact, you probably were the winning party in the betting market. I think, not to be too harsh, but very tough time for the Carney government. They try to steer through, a number of different issues. We have to dramatically increase the defense spending in Canada. At the same time, talking a lot about austerity and trying to, bring some of the costs down. So we are nowhere close to any sort of a balanced budget. And that wasn't really the expectation. But I do think when it comes to nation building and industrial policy, I think there's lots of people inside and outside of agriculture that feel that this one kind of fell a little bit short.
The agri-stability comes up time and time again. I mean, it's something that government likes to hold up and say, here we go, this is what we're doing for you. And yet, when I talk to farmers, friends of mine, people that I meet, they don't look at it like this is the saving grace, like this is a real great investment by the federal government. What are your thoughts on agri-stability and the role it plays to help the ag sector?
I think, it's in the business risk management suite. A lot of farmers have a problem with it because they think it doesn't necessarily, it's difficult, it's easier to have your accountant file the paperwork, so people don't like that cost. There's the probability of payment is probably not where a lot of farmers would like to see it. Some of our market research shows that about 25 to 30% of Canadian farmers believe that program is in place to basically guarantee a profit. Well, that's not exactly what that programming is for. It does get a lot of the attention, but I think Evan, a big part of this budget that probably got the most talk was where are the cuts going to be?
Right.
And there's going to be some cuts at the federal department. A lot of departments are talking about 15%, you know, well over $100 million. When it comes to AFC, they were talking in the initial getting rid of things like Living Labs. Where else? What other program is going to have to be cut to get to some of those 15% targets that the prime minister is pushing for? There's some unanswered questions there for sure.
And, you know, not only the cuts, but then what is the trickle-down effect of that? The effect it could have on an organization like SARM or APAS in Saskatchewan is one thing, but what's the trickle-down effect to the farmer on his or her land day to day?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of farmers concerned, or at least do they have an opinion on what needs to be the direction of the federal government's participation in public plant breeding. As an example, I think it's human nature, though, to be fair. It's very human nature to say, you know, we need to make cuts around here. The government's spending way too much money. There's too many federal workers. We're not efficient. You know, we're not having an impact. Cuts, 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 cuts. But don't cut what impacts me. Mm-hmm. You know, the cuts need to be over there in that other department, not, you know, agriculture is too important. So I think the reality is there's going to be cuts and there is going to be some pain. The question is, how deep a pain, and does it get us to a bigger upside, you know, 5 years down the trail, where we say, you know what, those cuts were very worthwhile. That fate is yet to be determined.
You know, part of the criticism I've heard on all levels, not just in agriculture, is there's a lot of big picture thinking in this budget and the promise of better things to come, but nothing really tangible right now. And I look at, for example, an extra $75 million over 5 years for the agri-marketing program. That's pretty high level stuff that, again, the day-to-day, everyday farmers, boots on the ground, aren't going to necessarily see or feel that for a while.
Yeah, I think in terms of the increased spending or commitment of spending, I think a lot of farmers were hoping to see more going to, you know, trade. I think they put the number was like $5 billion, and it's hard to get the context. Is that a lot of money when it comes to infrastructure building, or would that be flittered away quite quickly and nobody would really notice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trouble is for politicians. When we talk about something like trade infrastructure, whether that's rail or, you know, upgrading ports and things like that, it doesn't necessarily has an impact on export industries like agriculture, but it's not that immediate. And so, you know, in today's politics, where it's a real short-term game, people are looking for that quick win.
Mm-hmm.
And those quick wins aren't necessarily the things that we need here in Canada when it comes to industrial policy and nation building.
Sean Haney is my guest, founder and CEO of realagriculture.com. Okay, I want to look at a couple of other things while I've got you. A tariff update, perhaps. So since you and I last chatted, India has thrown a 30% tariff on peas. The one that really has caught my attention, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on, is what's going on in the beef market right now. More than just tariffs impacting the industry, it seems like sometimes the U.S. president can make a statement on Truth Social and it has an impact on the industry.
Well, in this case, it has had an impact on the industry. I think when you look at some of the policies that the Trump administration has, they're very focused on cost of living, trying to bring that down. Remember the first couple days of this presidency, they talked a lot about egg prices, very tied to avian influenza, but they had this multi-point plan where they went after the price of eggs. Eggs prices did come down, whether that's a result of their policies or not, up for debate. In the case of beef, we know the beef price, even to the grocery store, beef prices are quite high. The president has been railing quite harshly against, you know, maybe it was ranchers making too much money. Now, at the end of last week, it was about the Packers and getting Attorney General Pam Bondi involved to try to investigate the consolidation of Packers, which is trying to maybe bring ranchers a little bit back on the side of the White House. This administration talks a lot about the future golden age of agriculture. Well, in this case, ranchers are in the golden age of agriculture. We have generational profits being made in the ranching sector, which is well-deserved because there's been decades of heartache.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just a catch-up. It's been very, very unfortunate that the president's social media posts have had a negative impact on beef and created more volatility. And putting the question in consumers' heads, maybe beef is too expensive. That's not good for beef demand.
Sean Haney is my guest. While we're talking geopolitics, we have been focused a lot and heard about the auto industry and the impact that what's going on has had on the Canadian auto industry. But what about manufacturing when it comes to ag in Canada? Because, boy, we've got some great things going here. What are you hearing from people in the ag manufacturing industry with everything that's going on, the volatility, the trade talks, the tariff stuff, steel and aluminum, et cetera, with the states?
Yeah, you know, I think we've had different ebbs and flows here. Where we're at here today is, tell me what the tariff's going to be, and then I can plan accordingly for it. Is that a 10% tariff, a 15% tariff? Is it like 25? Companies trying to remove themselves a little bit from the chaos. Have they reorganized a little bit of their supply chain? I get the feeling that some have. We have had some Canadian manufacturers that have moved more of their production into the U.S. because that's where the larger market is, and trying to avoid the tariff. That's what the president wants to hear. I don't know if it's actually been as substantial as maybe we first thought it was going to be, but boardrooms understand, you know, in the corporate world, understanding the fact this is creating uncertainty, but not trying to make short-term decisions that impact their businesses longer term. Mm-hmm. Everybody is more like, I just want to see some, just tell me what the tariff is. That is pretty much what I hear from a lot of Canadian ag manufacturers.
Real Agriculture's Sean Haney is my guest. Just a couple more things. Another debate, this isn't brand new, but it has bubbled back to the surface recently between our provincial SAS party government and the opposition NDP, is this notion of foreign land ownership. There's been accusations from the NDP that this is going on and the provincial government's doing nothing to stop it. Our province is saying, show us examples and we'll investigate it. Do you have thoughts on this? Obviously, you look at this nationwide, how big of a problem is foreign land ownership, or is it more of a perception thing?
Well, my gut reaction to it, Evan, is it is more of a perception thing. This is a big discussion in places like the UK. This is a big, definitely a huge discussion in the US. And it's a discussion in Canada as well. Saskatchewan, my understanding is, has some of the most restrictive land ownership policies when it comes to farmland. I think a lot of people jump to, you know, talk about China and Chinese ownership when it comes to this topic. We see this a lot in the U.S. In fact, in the state of Arkansas, there was a movement from the governor to make Syngenta, for example, shut down a research station because they are owned by the Chinese. So this is a hot button issue. I'm not sure it's as big in reality as some people want to make it, although it is very, very good political fodder. Understand why the NDP would be doing it, but good on the SAS party and the government for saying, show me some examples, because they're probably very thin in reality.
Last question, and we're almost out of time, but with everything going on, I'm always curious to know where things are sitting with the Canadian Farmer Sentiment Index. And I know you just talked about that on your podcast here this past week.
Yeah, there is a lot of concern about farm profitability. You know, where there's a really, really good story is when it comes to the beef sector and ranchers, which is great to see. There is concern when it comes to farmers that are growing, you know, wheat and barley and pulses. A negative sentiment. We continue to see declining farm financials in comparison to 12 months ago. We've got, I think, a year and a half now of data showing that. Just over 50%, though, of Canadian producers say that their financials are still good to potentially excellent, which is encouraging, but we see that number also declining. So even though that commodity prices may be the same or a little bit higher than last year, the concern is it's the inputs. It's the cost side of the equation that is really hurting producers, which is why we're seeing so much attention being paid south of the border right now when it comes to some of those input costs and some of the consolidation of some of the manufacturers and providers. Same story here. A lot of concern about cost. It's shrinking the margins, and a lot of planning and sharp pencils are going to be required to eke out a profit in 2026.
Sean, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Great stuff. Really appreciate it. All the best, everybody.
Sean Haney, founder, CEO of RealAgriculture.com. And of course, you can hear him here on the weekend, Saturdays at 4, Sundays at 1. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.